entertaining. Is that what gets you up in the morning, like helping people get free?
I love it. I love it when, you know, when you say it like that, I feel like Harriet Tubman today.
Free from the system, man. Under all is the land, the real, real, the real estate. Courtney and friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land, under all is the land. The real, real, real under estate. All is the land, under all is the land. The real, real, real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California. Welcome to Under All is the Land, Season 4, Episode 7. I am your host, Courtney Polis. Here with my rock star co-star, Dominique Madden.
Hello.
Our third, Silke, is under the weather today and unfortunately cannot join us. But today, I'm really excited for today's show because it's another self-made wealth story, which I feel like, you know, that's the name of the game right now. You've got to be creative if you want to be financially stable. And Mike Ely, who's our guest today, has an incredible presence on social media and also kind of like an incredible story, tells it like it is, and is all about changing your mind shift, how you spend money to make money, and taking small money and making it into big money, which I think should just be a theme of our lives.
Totally.
Just generally. We're in a place, it's crazy, when you think about the economics of America versus other countries in the world, you realize how much opportunity we have here that really goes untapped.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
In so many ways. I mean, and really, I feel like even globally, opportunities have really opened up now that the internet is a thing, you know? Because now you're not just segmented to making money in your little area. It's like you can do so many things. You can sell so many things. You can create so many things. You can drop ship things. You can do all the things.
That's true.
It's just about doing.
Right.
That's
it's about
thing.
Doing.
Yeah.
It's about not sitting on your ass and complaining, but actually, you know, educating yourself, figuring out what path you want to take, and then going for it. You
literally.
Know? So I'm super excited to bring on our guest, Mike Ely, who's going to show us the ways. Welcome, Mike. Mike, welcome to the set of Under All is the Land.
Thank you so much
for being here.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're so excited to talk to you about your journey and also hear all your wisdom and witticisms and things you've learned over the years in your journey. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't you introduce yourself to the audience, tell us where you're from and how your love for real estate and real estate investing started.
Yeah, so Mike Ely, Cincinnati, Ohio, also known as the Nasty Natty. But it all started when I was about 16 years old. I was just fascinated about making money. And so I went to the library one day, and it was about the stock market. Actually, it was junk bonds. Mm-hmm. And I found this book about junk bonds and the minimum investment. Now, this was back in
the 80s.
Yes, thank
you. Yeah, I remember junk bonds were huge in the 80s.
They were the huge thing. And it said the minimum investment was $50,000. And I'm 16 years old. I looked at it and put that book right back on the shelf. Like, it's not happening. And then I stumbled across a book by Robert Allen, No Money Down, in the 90s. And from there, it was like idiot proof. Like I picked it up and I sat at the library. I hated reading. I'm a math guy. And I sat there and read half the book right then and there. And I learned all these different techniques about how to buy with minimum or no money, how to buy on a land contract, leveraging a 401k, using OPM. Like, it was like first time I ever heard OPM. Not what is it, PP?
OPP.
Can you buy real estate using OPP?
Technically, maybe.
Social currency, you know what I mean?
Oh, man.
So, I mean, it was amazing. And then what's so even great about that story, even to this day, I use those same techniques to acquire the single families, the hotels, my apartments, to hotels, even developments. I use those same techniques. And now finally, 40-something years later, I meet Robert Allen, and he's actually working with me, and we're writing a book together.
You are?
Yeah, we're writing a book together. It's going to be a best time New York seller, and it's coming out here in the next probably 6 months here. So, oh, you know, I was so excited to meet a guy that I just met reading a book.
Wow. That's
like, amazing. He changed my life.
That's incredible. Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Talk about full circle. Yeah.
So did you, so, okay, so you're 16 in the 80s when you see the Junk Bonds book.
Yeah, yeah.
How old are you in the 90s when you, like, did you go to college?
Yeah, so I went to Tuskegee University.
Okay.
Finished up in electrical engineering.
Okay.
Really, I wanted to be a teacher, but they didn't pay much. So right. I was like, forget it. So they was like, you're good in math, so I did engineering. And I think, matter of fact, I was my last day of school, and the professor was like asking me all these questions. And he says, Mike, how come you can't answer these questions? I was like, I don't know. I don't care. He said, well, don't you want to be an engineer? And I was like, nah, not really. And so he gave me an A, and that was the end of my engineering career.
That was it? He gave you an A for that?
Because I finished up, and then I went out, and I did get an intern job, and I did electrical estimating. But I had this passion for real estate and throwing concerts and parties. And once I figured out how to get started in real estate, I did my first deal. They call it house hacking, but I bought a two family.
Mm-hmm.
I used those same techniques. I did it, a land contract. The guy wanted $3,000 down. I said, I'll give you $1,000. I'll pay the other $2,000 over a 2 month period. You wanted $700 a month.
So let's just clarify. Land contract is also a way of saying like rent to own.
There you go. A rent to own, lease option.
Lease option. Yep.
One of those different. And so the mortgage payment was $700 a month. So I ended up getting my sister to live with me, her and my little niece.
Mm-hmm.
They paid $200. I rented upstairs for $500 a month. And get this, I didn't even know how to paint. Like I was up there painting. My contractor sent me back downstairs. Like that was, I was that bad. Like I don't know how can you mess up, but I did. And so, but I got it rented, and I got it rented for $700 a month. So I was living rent free. And then I bought another one, and then that covered my car payment. And then I did another one, and that gave me spending money. And then I was like, I felt like Rick James on the Dave Chappelle show. I'm rich, bitch. You couldn't tell me nothing. Like, I ain't have no car payment. I mean, can you imagine? Your two biggest expenses are gone. I had a car payment covered by my rental property. I had a mortgage payment covered by a rental property. Like, that's when I started buying properties to cover things. And I'm sorry, I'm going to jump. But
jump.
That's one of the things about people. Like, you are a creator. You should be living in abundance. There's no reason why you should be trading your time for money, right? Like people get this thing, oh, I'm trading time is money. No, it's not. You need to buy back your time by being creative. And by being creative, you can generate and change your economic stats. You could create this income. And it was just for me, my path was real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, ours is too. That's what why we love it. I feel like it's one of the few things left in our country right now where you really don't need to have a college degree to do it.
Oh my God.
You need to be smart, and it's not like it's not hard work, even if you're managing properties or hiring people or managing the people that you hire or whatever. Yep. It's not that there's no work in it, but you know, you can change your real financial situation and even Absolutely. Create legacy wealth for your family and for your kids and everything through real estate if we just pay attention enough to get educated on it. And Absolutely. I've been in the business for a long time, since 2005, and I still feel like I learn new things every single day about how money moves our country and like where the best places are to buy. So let's talk about what you've got. What's your portfolio look like right now, and why does it look that way?
Oh wow! So right about now, probably got a little over $200 million under assets under management. Let's see, about 50 something single family houses. Had over 1,500 apartments, and we got 4 hotels, and I'm building a 5th one, prime downtown Sarasota, Florida. So that's a $110 million project we're doing right now.
So when you say we, you're investing with other people in these things.
Yeah, well, I'm the what we call the general partner. I'm the key principal, sponsor, owner, and so I put these projects together. You know, I'm the deal maker. Mm-hmm. You know, I bring everybody together and we play as a team. And that's the only reason I've been able to scale and grow to accomplish these goals here. Mm-hmm. But not without any failures.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Where are you buying right now? Where are good places for people to buy?
Well, you know, it's always where the opportunity is. Like, I've, you know, as much as, so it's a little different. We were talking about that earlier, but like in the West Coast, if you're trying to do a cash flowing property, not such a great place to go, right? Because you're probably going to have a negative cash flow, but you'll have this appreciation.
Right. So in LA especially, appreciation is where you make the most money.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not on cash flow.
Yeah, now what's coming up now, I mean, people have been doing it for a while, but out here in the West Coast, you're doing the ADUs, you know, adding additional dwelling. And so that's actually turning your negative cash flow to a positive cash flow. Mm-hmm. But for most people, they get in a negative cash flow, so they cash out, then they come to the Midwest, like Ohio. And they'll buy properties there because they'll cash flow. They can make 6, 7, 10, 12, 14% cash on their money. But great places to go, like you'll hear people talk about the Sun Belt, and that's when you'll be like, why everybody want to go there? You can just do it right here. Well, I get it now. You know, you can go to Florida, you can cash flow and still enjoy that appreciation like you in LA, but not as much. You can do that in Arizona. Like, it's still, I wouldn't say a low cost of entry, but it's still a lower value enough that it's affordable and you can acquire it and make profits. Whereas here, like everything, a single family house is $1 million, right? That's challenging for people first starting off. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Georgia or somewhere, you still can buy a house for $250,000, $300,000, and it's still affordable. And I'm still like, how is $250,000 affordable for some people, you know? But times have changed. I know this is the West Coast,
yeah, I mean,
right?
Inflation and
yes,
you know, $250,000 does sound affordable.
Like Ohio, like Mark Twain said, you know, if something ever happens to the world, I'm going to Ohio because that's the last place where everything will happen. And we're just now seeing our inflation. Like we're just now our average houses are $250,000. You guys were $250,000 like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't. I think the last time I saw 250 or 300,000 was before Highland Park was developed, and there were a lot of foreclosures on the market in 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
So it has been a while. That is for sure. Okay. So failures. Let's talk about it. Oh, also, just you talked about the cost of the portfolio, but 40 to 50 houses, 1,500 apartment units and 4 hotels. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you don't finance this stuff other than private money or
a combination? So we'll do a hybrid. So when I first started with the houses, I had private investors. So I would borrow money from a private investor anywhere from 8 to 12%, even 15%. You know, the less skills you have or the lower your skill set, the higher you're paying interest. Mm-hmm. But I started off at 15 and got all the way down to 8, and I would borrow money from people that had a couple hundred thousand, and they would lend me money. I'll pay them monthly, I'll renovate it, sell it, pay them off. But then the net money I made, let's say I netted 40 grand on a deal, I'll take $5,000 from my living expenses that took care of me for 3 months. Yeah, I know that's kind of hard, but I was cheap back then. And then I took that remaining $25,000 and bought another cheap house. And I paid all cash. And that's how I started buying houses, cash. And I didn't think that was ever possible. And I never forget, I was listening to, what is it? Creflo Dollar and TD Jakes. And they were talking about how they generated cash and they were giving houses away and you can buy houses cash. And I was like, that's possible? And then after I learned that, I was like, I started buying houses in cash.
So you feel like buying a lower price house in cash is better than financing in a more like developed market?
It depends where you're going and what your goal is. Like, basically kind of getting to the Burr method, to buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat, right? And so if you can buy with cash, right? Because then you don't have to deal with the banks.
Right.
Then you fix it up and then you refinance. Well, now you got that cash. You're kind of dealing with infinite banking at that point. You can take your own cash and go do it again and still keep this property and continue the cash flow. So, I mean, if you can leverage the bank, guess what? Your returns are going to be even better, right? But, you know, even with apartments, when we first started doing 20, 50 units, we had cash investors that would lend us $1 million, $2 million. And we'd buy it all cash. And once we stabilized it, we refinanced it. So it's a combination. But now I'm all about leverage, you know, because I don't want to use my money.
Right.
I'm curious, how did the trajectory happen to move from the single families to the you know, the apartments and then into hotels? Because hotel investing, like, that is something that is just,
Me too.
It's like, I'm like mystifying. Yeah. Like, what?
No, it was just an opportunity. Like, first of all, like I said, I didn't even know how to paint, right? And then...
but you can swipe a key card, huh?
but we what was the Great Recession came. Now, I already started buying a couple of multi-units, but the Great Recession came. First of all, I lost all my money. Like, literally, I was homeless. I was couch surfing. And so I lost everything. And so then I start seeing these opportunities because I lost everything through 9/11. I wish I could blame it on 9/11, but it was just me not knowing what the hell I'm doing.
Oh.
Right? I just didn't know what
I was
doing.
So how does 9/11 have anything to do with it?
Well, because that's when I lost everything.
Oh, was that
literally, day? Literally, that year, the tower, when they flew into the tower,
yep.
I lost my car wash business, started falling apart. My houses, I got laid off or fired. I don't know. They're still not really sure about that one. I got fired from like 4 or 5 jobs.
But. Me too. I've been fired from a few.
That's terrible. You know that you're not supposed to work for me.
Yeah. Good boss. Bad employee.
Yeah. Yeah. Great boss. But yeah, 9/11, that year, the business stopped for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then it never picked back up again. Mm. And so then I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul, and Paul's meeting me at the door, and then Peter's over there, and then Sue's on the corner. That, so I'm just, money's going out the window. So literally I got evicted out of my own home that I actually own. But because I went through that process, I learned how to do short sales. I learned how to buy mortgage notes. I was buying debt at a discount for penny on the dollar. So when the Great Recession came, I was like, I know what to do. And I knew all these people were going into problems. I would laugh at them. You know, they were like, why are you laughing at me? I'm in problems. And I was like, dude, I got a resolution for it. Don't worry about it. And I'll call the bank up, like, we want to buy your mortgage note. And it was like, and you know, in the Great Recession, everybody was hurting, so they were letting them go. And it was like, well, they owe a balance of $100,000. Well, I don't have that. And I tell you what, this is my offer. I'm going to give you $49,316.83. They was like, deal. And they was like, well, how'd you come up with that number? You know, my buddies. I said, I read a book. When you put all these different numbers and it makes it look like you're real. I was like, that's all I have.
Genius.
And so they took it. But through that process, I learned how to do short sales. I learned how to buy non-performing notes. And so then more opportunities come. So then people's like, well, here, I'll sell you this apartment deal. And I was like, well, give it to me. And then we were going to wholesale it. But then the partner's like, no, let's keep it. And so then literally that first deal I filled, it was a 48 unit. We only had 12 tenants. And I leased it in 30 days because I thought I was out of the box. I ended up getting an agency that took up my entire building. So we rented the whole thing in 30 days, and they paid me up front. So I even used that money to finish the construction. And that was my first deal I netted $1 million on.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
With hotels, are there ones that you buy, improve, and hold? Are they franchises? Independently owned?
The reason I got into hotels were I started off doing D&F properties. So when I got to C, I thought I was in heaven.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so D&F are like literally low income, and not this necessarily low income.
Do not fuck with this property.
What's
it stand for?
When you're in the F area, that means you fucked up. You know.
Okay. So this is like the worst area. You got, it's crime ridden and everything. Okay, got it.
That's where I thrived at.
Okay.
I understood that neighborhood. But I understood that I can't leave this to my family. I need something that I can put quality management in. And so I was like, I would see people buying these hotels and they look so happy. I was like, that's what I want. They were so happy and then they had nice cars. I was like, we doing that.
And I started. So what conferences are you going to where you just meet people who are buying hotels?
Well, because I didn't grow up around money. You know, I mean, we were middle class. I wasn't starving or anything, but I didn't grow around wealthy people. But as I started hanging around wealthy developers, I saw what they bought. I saw how they did things. Like, they did the same thing as me and you. It's just they were more conscious of what they did with their money. They constantly reinvest. They had a different outlook in life. They never felt like they lacked anything. Mm-hmm. And they felt they could do anything. And it wasn't so much ego. They were just living on how life is supposed to live and in abundance and speaking it all into existence and taking action.
Mm-hmm.
But hotels, like, they generate so much income, but then they have so much tax benefit, and I could hire some third-party management and be completely hands-off if I want to. Now, I would not be completely hands-off, but you can. And literally, I had people that I partnered with, they were netting $3 or $4 million a year. And literally, that's what they reported on their taxes. That's what they reported. They pay no federal taxes.
Let's talk about that. Because they have so much depreciation. It's the depreciation that gets you off the hook. And that's why owning investment properties makes so much sense. So with the hotels, you can depreciate the systems, right? And you can depreciate the building itself.
Yeah,
and
you got straight line depreciation, which is like 30, you got 29 and a half, but you can straight line it. If you got apartments and you do construction, if you got a good accountant, like, I'm in this horrible lifestyle, okay? Literally, I buy apartment building, right? We do 300,000 in construction. I can take that whole 300,000, write it off. So let's say I only made 300,000 that year. I'm not gonna pay any taxes because I got that write off. Then I can take a straight line depreciation and then I got cash flow. But the problem is I gotta buy another one because I'm gonna have to pay taxes on this new money I'm making. It's a horrible life.
Sounds just so challenging. Some of this stuff that you're talking about has appeared in your social media posts, which are wildly successful.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And very entertaining. And I think the mindset part of it for me is the most engaging part because I know that a whole new world opened up to me. I also, like you, we're sisters. We weren't raised with a lot of money or anything, but, you know, we're also not stupid. And we understand that working as a waitress sucks. Like, we got that part down. So we're like,
tried it, hated it.
So we want to make what money we have, you know, struggling sucks. Mm-hmm. And so many people accept that as like a condition of existence. You know, it's a constant thing. It's almost addictive to always feel like you're chasing money. And so we know that's not the way it has to be, right? And it took work and time and learning real estate, how to take your money to make money, watching other people do it, made it change our minds. So a lot of like what you talk about in your social media, what is your Instagram handle for our people, by the way?
Mike Ealy Nassau.
E-A-L-Y.
There you go.
So on your social media, you do a lot about mindset. Like, what is the difference between how rich people spend money versus how poor people spend money? Can you talk about some of those small witticisms and wisdoms that you've learned over the years?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been sharing this one lately, like, to be poor is not a shame. There's nothing to be ashamed about to be poor, but it's no great honor either. And the reason most people are poor because they have a poverty mindset, right? They always thinking about what they lack and what they don't have. And so they're in this state of conscious that now it becomes their reality. And so the difference is checking in that mindset and doing a shift and having an abundance thought process. Because you'll attract whatever it is. I'm at a point now, I've done it so much and I believe it so much, whatsoever I say, I shall have. Like, you know, I'm all scripture based, but that's where I learned a lot. And I studied everything. I can go into multiple different modalities and they all have the same principles. But if you change your thought process and you start taking action, it all come and you start educating yourself. Like one of the biggest problems, you're talking about what the difference between poor and rich. Well, the wealthy will reinvest their money. Whereas people I grew up, you know, well, when you grew up, because you didn't have much, you was like, man, get you a nice car and nice clothes. Whereas some of the wealthy people, man, they could care less. They got a big house and a little old car. Whereas in my other group of folks, they didn't have that. They had the big car with a little house. It was screwed up and they always had money and they was always educating. They always went to the best schools and they were networking and they reinvested their money. Like even if they didn't know much, they invested in stocks and bonds, but they were confident. Like I had to argue with my family. Like I remember I was crying because like, how come you won't give me no money to invest? Like, boy, we ain't got no money. Like, get out of here. Like, I don't know who you hanging around. but they just did not educate growing up about money.
Right.
And that some people even thought, like, money is evil.
Yeah.
It's so far from the truth. And whereas other places, they talk about money is a blessing.
When you're surrounded by people who are having money-based conversations and it's not thought to be awkward to do so,
mm-hmm.
you learn from a community of people on how to best spend your money, how best to reinvest your money. You don't feel so like, I'm not parting with this. I just got this. I'm not going to give you a dollar because I don't know what's going to happen with that dollar.
Extremely
scared. Like, I want to keep my dollar.
Extremely scared that it won't come back.
Scared that it won't come back because, you know, when you have a mom who's working like overtime to make ends meet, you think that time is money.
Yes.
Money is taking up a valuable part of our childhood, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you feel the absence and you think there's no way it could be this easy. There's no way anybody would put themselves through this if it's so easy.
Yeah.
And then it almost makes it seem criminal, like evil. Like how could somebody must be losing here in order for this person to be making money so easily. And
Absolutely.
That's a part of the mind has to change too. I mean, we don't want to like educate future renters of America. We need renters to occupy the properties that we buy as multifamilies. But at the end of the day, the objective here is to make people owners. You know, to make owners out of people, out of renters.
But even then, like at some point, the you're going to have to be a tenant, right? Everybody doesn't have that mom or dad that write the check so they can buy a house, right?
Yeah, of course.
So and our population is growing so rapidly that there's always going to be a market for the tenant. But I agree. It's all about educating. And now you talk about educating. I was so against coaching when I first started. I refused to pay for that. I think that was one of the dumbest mistakes I made. I could have been, now I appreciate my path, but I'm teaching people what took me 20 something years. They're learning to do in 12 to 18 months. So my point is, and you talked about college, like, I came out of college, as much as I love college and it made me who I am today, but again, if you have people around you, they could guide you and coach you and mentor you so that you could attain your success. Like, there's so much money out here that there's no reason for you to be poor. Unless you're in a third world country, all right, where you don't have a choice.
Right.
There's no reason for you to be poor.
That's what we were just talking about. We're like, in America,
and even outside, I think.
And even even outside of America. But in America, a market I know.
Yes.
It just does seem like there's so much opportunity, untapped opportunity. And, you know, with past podcast guests and you can take something and turn it into something bigger with not that much initial investment, just a little bit of patience. Like, it might not happen overnight. You might have to buy one and then buy another one and then buy another one, or use an FHA loan, which doesn't have the best interest rates, but it's 3.5% down and you can buy a multifamily and live in it, you know. Or you might buy out of state and you might have to like deal with the risk of feeling like, well, I'm not there to handhold the property rental process or something, you know. But if you find that you can learn how to trust your team and, you know, build a team, you can accomplish taking advantage of the opportunities that are here in this country. I mean, right now,
there's so much opportunity now. Like, and now in this given time with social media, it's limitless of what you can do. I mean, you just think about it. Now we don't have to wait for someone to anoint us. For example, like back in the day, if you wanted to have a show, right, we had to go through NBC or whatever to get. No, right now we can put a camera on, get on the internet, and the people choose us. Mm-hmm. Before, you could not obtain these secrets of how to obtain success or wealth. You can go online, choose somebody you like that you feel you can relate to, and get it instantly. You don't have to wait 6-8 weeks for a book or a course to come in.
A correspondence course.
Right. And then all of a sudden they come to a city near you because you can't afford to drive out there. Right. Like, now is the time to seize your opportunity. And it's out there for you.
Mm-hmm. So you're coaching now.
Yes.
You've become the coach you once hated. No, I'm just kidding. So you are coaching, you're teaching. Tell us about that. Well, how did this evolve?
No, so I'm what are you really teaching is in my blood. Like, in my family, you're either a teacher or a preacher. Oh. All right. And I just like to sin. So that was me. But here I am back teaching, educating. But literally, coaching is my passion. Like, sports, lacrosse, baseball. I coach my kids in every sport. But I love educating people. Like, when somebody gets in, their pupils dilate, like, that's my high. And so I coach people on how to be successful in real estate. And it all started by when I went broke. I was actually acting like a consultant. I saw people failing. I was like, nah, just do this. And literally their business would change overnight. And then over a period of time, I just kept working at it. And here we are. And quite frankly, people said, Mike, you got to share your story. I was like, but I don't know anything. He was like, yes, you do. I was like, I mean, everybody knows how to do a multifamily. Everybody knows how to do a hotel. Like, what planet are you on?
That's definitely not true.
Yeah, I was like, and so I started sharing it, and we saw a lot of people have success. Multiple people leaving the W-2s. People taking off, spending more time with their family. They're obtaining.
Is that what gets you up in the morning, like helping people get free?
I love it. I love it when, you know, when you say it like that, I feel like Harriet Tubman today.
Free from the system, man.
No, obtaining financial freedom, living in abundance. Look, I tell everybody all the time, look, it's nice to have a Bentley. Like, I enjoy my Bentley, right? I enjoy my 7,000 square foot house, but you don't need that. What you really need is your time. And if you can buy your time back so you can spend it with your family, because look, quite frankly, if you got kids, you're gonna lose them to that social media. You know, as much as it's a gift, it could be a curse. And if you're not spending time with them kids, someone else is influencing your child.
No.
Right.
Don't tell me that.
No, I'll get with you. I'm going to prep you before you already there.
Oh, God. Then, no. I have a 14-year-old son.
Well, the boys ain't too bad. It's the girls. It's the girls.
For whatever
it is, you get all these hormones, and I forget all the technologies, but they get so energetic, and then they have this vision of what they should be like. And most women, not all, but a little more emotional, and they see whatever you see is what you want to become. And so I've seen multiple children, female, especially because of COVID, move into depression and high anxiety, right? The boys, not so much. They look at it and they just laugh, like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah, that's true. But, there's a lot of that.
Right? And then the boys are stupid, like, ooh.
just reminds me of the video you said. Her son showed her a video, and it's like this, like, you know, just random things, just right, like yeah. frame to frame, just super random things that don't tie together at all.
Right.
And he's like, isn't that hilarious? Like,
I know. Yeah. I'm like, don't I have get no it. Idea what I just watched.
Don't. Yeah, no, I get it. No, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
No, but like, but that was my whole point. Like, spend time with your kids. Like, my wife was one of the main reasons. Like, I spent more time with my kids. Like, she's like, no, you spending more time. Like, where I grew up in a household, my mom was the one, and dad was, you know, working, and then he'll come home, go sleep, right? But like, being involved, like, it's one of the greatest gifts that I ever had, and helping them grow and helping them succeed. So, you know, I just want everybody, I think everybody should have that dream. And it's just, some people just have no idea.
Right.
And if you just share with them just one word, it could change their life.
How can people find your course?
Look, just grab my book, From Broke to Millions, www.frombroketomillions.com. And that has all my information, or you can go to my Instagram, Mike Ely at Nassau. And, you know, just DM me, you know, like, I would love for you to have one of my courses, but we would love to get to know you. I would love to help you understand some things and make sure you're a right fit. Or even if you didn't take my course, I want to guide you to somewhere who can help you. Like, we're here to help solve problems. Like, people think I'm into real estate, but I'm really a problem solver. And I want to know your pain so we can give you a solution. And that's where it just so happened real estate is that.
Yeah, it's hot.
What? Love it.
Yeah. I want to know your pain so I can help cure you too with much. Real estate. We can just hear something. Oh, I know what it was. We were talking about brand building brands. And one of the things you do when you analyze your competition, but also like the consumer experience, is where is the pain,
yeah,
and how can you fix it? That's what that made me.
Yeah, that's the key to sales. I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, that's when I first heard it. Like, what? I'm an engineer, you know. So everything's black and white.
That's funny. So, okay. So as we wrap up here, let me ask you this: what are so? Say a person who's watching this has a 9-to-5 job, yep, and $20,000 they've managed to save from a few years of bonuses in their bank account. They own their own house. It's appreciated a little. There's probably a little equity in there. What are the tips that you could give them? Like, three tips to give them, either books to read or things to think about, or planning tips, right, or something.
Number one, you want to set your goals, right? Figure out how much money you want to make, how much you need to replace that job, and what type of properties you want to buy, right? You do want a single family, multifamily, you want a hotel, do you want to be passive, active, right? That's one of the things. But another thing you want to do is get you a coach, get you a mentor. Like, they're going to cut your learning curve like more than half. Like, they'll expedite your time. Like, I'm just telling you, if I would have got a coach back then, I would have been way past where I am now. Books to read, like my favorite was naturally Minds, From Broke to Millions. All right, I'm shameless pledge.
I like mine as well. Break Up With Your Rental.
There you go. Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Okay.
But if you're just getting started, I really enjoyed Rich Dad Poor Dad Cash Flow Quadrant, because that taught me how to set up systems, move out of the mom and pop mentality. Quit trying to be the employee and quit acting like a self-employed, right? Because that's the mom and pop business. Whereas you act like a business and an investor, where you set up systems and people can invest with you and you can repeat it and scale on that. And No Money Down by Robert Allen. Like, that book will get you started in real estate. But I can go on and on about books, because then you got to learn how to communicate. And that's like crucial conversations. That's like legal karate verbally. Like, I learned how to have
very book titles?
Yeah, that's crucial conversations.
That's a book title. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's one of the, like,
legal karate.
You know how you hate having that really confrontational conversation, and And it teaches you how to communicate with that person to break down that wall. For example, like, you know how you come up with somebody just stubborn, right? You don't want to talk to them. And so you just, it's all on strategy perspective. You say, instead of trying to talk to them right up front, you say, hey, you know what? Do you think being closed-minded is a desirable trait? Right? And they're like, what? You're talking to me? No, I'm just asking a question, right? And, you know, and then, because, see, you just asked the question that was not directly. You asked them, you're asking their opinion, right? So you just move it around that subconscious, and they instantly don't want to be that person. So they start to drop that guard immediately. And then you say, well, look, I would like to talk to you about this issue. And my goal is to that we can abstain, have a better relationship. I don't want to argue. I don't want to prove who's right or wrong. But I want us to have a goal that we can grow together. So is this a good time to talk? And so you just broke down all the defenses. And so now they pulled their guard down. Now they don't want to be that stubborn, undesirable trait. And then you can ask open questions. And then when it gets heated again, you say, hey, I'm not here to argue. You remember our goal? And they become so open. Yes, I hate
you. Good advice. That is so funny. In our business, you know, we hit confrontational
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine asking that question to one like of the seller. Agents on the other side.
Oh my God,
to a seller.
And you got to set them up with that. Like, you can't, like, you know you're going to talk to this guy. And you just make up something. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you think being closed-minded is a desirable trait? Like, it's so not, what?
It'd be more like, do you think that quality controlling your contractor's work is a good idea or no?
Yeah, you know.
Can we have that conversation?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like you can't say, you know, it would be so easy to say you're stupid versus now we like to say, hey, do you think that was a wise decision?
He's got good ideas about how to handle these conversations.
And this is crucial conversations?
It's crucial conversations, then there's one crucial confrontations.
Oh.
So there's two books, and the last, you know, when I say goals, have a BHAG. Big, hairy, audacious goal. If it wasn't for my big, hairy, audacious goal, I wouldn't be where I am today. Like, what is a BHAG? It's a big, hairy, audacious goal, and it's so big that you cringe when you even come up with the idea. You know, ooh. I was like, I'm going to buy $100 million worth of hotels. And I was like, I'm going to do that. And I was like, that's my goal. And that's what we went after. And then because of that, I didn't necessarily, now here's the thing.
Did you set a hairier goal after you accomplished
it? Yeah, well, now we're at $1 billion in assets. And I cringed at that. And I was like, good. But then it changes your whole thought process. Before, I had no idea how to even attempt to get to $1 billion. But because I started thinking and sharing with other people, as I say, as you speak it, you'll attract it and it'll be that. I started bringing people in my life and then they start saying, well, this is what I did. And I own $400 million. And then this guy, $800 million. This guy's got $3 billion. And this guy's got, I don't know how many. And I was like, oh, so it's doable. Oh, you just need to put a team together. Like, so my point is, what was the Boeing 747? They were in the business in the war, and the war was over, and so nobody wanted those big old planes anymore. And so then he had the idea, well, we're gonna make them a commercial airline. Like, don't nobody want that. But he created this big idea, and next thing you know, everybody's using the Boeing 747.
Right? Yeah.
And because of you create these big, how dare getting to the moon. Like, those are the things that will change your life.
So where are you now? Where do you live?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
You still live in Cincinnati?
Yeah, that's home, but Florida is kind of my second home.
Okay.
Will be soon.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. I mean, are the tax laws, do they help you decide where to go?
No, like I said, I'm not worried about that. Like, you know,
because one thing pays for the other thing.
That, and then you continue to buy real estate. You continue to buy hotels. You continue to get depreciation. And what's so crazy, as I went through this journey, as much like the secret to it all, real estate is one portion of it, but you really want to get to your multiple streams. And what's going to happen is your multiple streams are going to create more than your real estate, and your real estate is just going to be another vehicle that protects your money. It just drives your money through the taxes, and you pick up depreciation, you pick up asset protection along the way. Like, now my businesses are starting to take off more, and now I'll be funding my own deals. Like, it's this crazy cycle. I thought real estate, but yeah, I'm loving it all.
Oh man, I love your story so much. It's so inspiring. Yeah, it is. Nick, you and I have some work to do.
Tell you what.
That's what I'm thinking right now.
I'll tell you what.
We have some conversations.
I'm thinking of my beehog right now.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking I'm a beehog. I didn't even know that word existed before a few minutes ago, but now it's all I'm going to think about. Well, thank you so much for being on Under All Is the
Land.
Thank
you so much for having
me. We so appreciate your time and travel and all of the things. And we are excited to share your story with our audience.
Okay.
And I'm inspired. I'm going to go buy something. Maybe we'll have to do some coaching with him. Let's talk about family investing. Yes. And we'll see you next time on Under All Is the Land.
Add a couple notches to your belt. Under All Is the Land. Under All Is the Land.